there, it's Julie for Dobbs. Since 1976, drivers have counted on us for bumper-to-bumper tire and auto service. And Dobbs now has more than 40 locations. One's probably close to you. Come see us today.
For deals you can use, click on gotodobbs.com now.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Now batting for the Fast Lane, Cardinals Hall of Famer and fifth member,
Hanging with Holiday on 101 ESPN.
Powered by Air Alliance Team Heating and Cooling. Getting the job done quickly, correctly, 100% of the time.
It's the Fast Lane on 101 ESPN. 302, your time check is brought to you by Clarkson Jewelers, an officially licensed Rolex jeweler with former St. Louis Blues defenseman Jamie Rivers. I'm Anthony Stalter. You heard the intro. Matt Holliday joining us now.
It's brand new intro.
Baseball season. Matt, I don't know if you heard the intro or not. Yeah, did you hear it?
I did.
I mean, Vegas has nothing on us now.
Wow. I'm with it this year.
Yeah. So, Matt, when you think back, like, career highlights, John Hewlett announcing you when you're coming to the batter's box at Busch Stadium, or our, like, voiceover guy announcing you into the Fast Lane?
Similar.
Sure. Makes sense.
Yeah. Right there.
Yeah, tied for first.
I can see that.
Yeah.
Matt, what's as we are now opening day eve is what Jamie called it. Opening day eve for you. What's the thing that you miss most about the Cardinals home opener? Like, you specifically, the thing that you look back on and you're most fond of?
Well, I think the celebration of Cardinal baseball and the buzz leading up to it. You come from spring training, you're sort of, you know, you're coming back from Florida, and you're the excitement that you feel in St. Louis and just around town, and the anticipation for the start of a new season, and the excitement, for all the years that I was there, for the excitement of a good team and a chance to play in another postseason. And so that part of it's great. I mean, I think, you know, everybody's ready for spring training to be over and for games to count. So from a competitive standpoint, you're ready to play in a game that's meaningful. And it's an exciting time. It's an exciting day leading up to opening day.
Matt, is someone working out behind you there in the gym?
No, but I do hear that.
Yeah, I thought, I was like, if you can't handle the weight, put it back on the rack, sir. Just saying.
Drop it down a little.
Yeah.
No, that was somebody in the kitchen. So I relocated.
quick feet.
So hopefully you won't hear any more pots and pans. It's a better story if I told you that I was at the gym and somebody just dropped a dumbbell on their head. But unfortunately, it was the pots and pans in the kitchen, so. You know, you just never know around here. I've got dogs. There's just four kids. There's always noise potential in any interview
fires.
That I
do. We get it. Yeah, we get it.
Well, yeah. Matt, hey, before we get into the Cardinals here a little bit, I wanted to ask you about Jackson. Spring training, how did it go for the young man?
He did great. You know, he got to spend a good 2 to 3 weeks in big league camp and performed really well and really enjoyed it. I think he learned a lot. I think he impressed people with how he handled it. And I don't know what his final line was, but he got hits. I mean, I think he was 5 for 14 or somewhere in there, maybe like that. But made the most of his chances. I think left a good impression on the big league staff, and then has gone down to minor league camp to get those at bats to get him ready for the season. And you know, he's excited. I think they leave on the 2nd to head north to Maryland. Delmarva, low A, where he finished last year, he'll start there and hopefully get off to a good start. And I think they'll move him to high A pretty quickly if he gets off to a good start based on his spring training. And But he's doing really well, and we got a chance to go down for a week and spend some time with him and meet some of his teammates and friends and give him a couple home cooked meals at the house we rented and see him. So it's been a good spring for him. I'm excited for him and looking forward to following along on his journey.
Wow, that's awesome. It's great to hear. Another young man who's made the most of his opportunity is a young man named Jordan Walker. And we talked about this kid a lot, obviously. There's a lot to talk about. I don't know if any of us truly thought he'd make an impact like he did. I thought personally he had the chance to break camp with the big league club. But as you watch this young man come in and just take a spot on this roster, what are your thoughts about him?
Well, I've been super impressed with how he's handled it. He seems to be a very mature kid, very even keel. I think the World Baseball Classic year was helpful. You know, I think the being able to get him as many at bats as you wanted, with O'Neill gone and Newbar gone, that they were able to sort of just run him out there is and see if he could handle it. And he obviously has handled it really, really well. And you see, to me, when I watch him every swing, like, he's dangerous. So if you get a chance to bat this kid, down in the order, obviously you have two Hall of Fame, sort of elite caliber players in the middle of your order. So there's not a ton of pressure. You can hit him lower in the order. But every time he swings the bat, he looks to me dangerous. And I think that having a guy like that stretches your lineup. I think as you look at the opening day lineup, the projected opening day lineup, it's a championship caliber lineup. And so I'm looking forward to watching and seeing, these first few games, what it looks like against frontline, with the starting pitchers and how he handles it. But he's definitely an exciting player that seems to be a cornerstone type of young player, which is such a big boon for an organization when you draft and you have a 20-year-old who's ready to step into a prominent role on your team. So it's fun to watch. I think Mason Wynn did really well as well, and I think they had some young guys really show a good effort in a spring training.
World Series champ, Cardinals Hall of Famer, Matt Holliday, joining us right now on the Fastlane on 101 ESPN with Jamie Rivers. I'm Anthony Stalter. Matt, speaking of not only Jordan Walker, but any young hitter, he goes from Double-A now, and he's going to skip Triple-A, and hopefully he's with the big league club moving forward here. We don't have to worry about him ever going back down. What's going to be his biggest challenge, though? What's the biggest challenge of a young hitter stepping in, big league pitching, games count now? What's his biggest challenge?
Well, when the season starts, they're going to pitch to, what they think. They're going to pitch to – they're going to be looking for weaknesses. They're going to be trying to really pitch to those. A lot of times in spring training, guys are getting work in. They're pitching more in patterns on stuff that the pitches they want to work on, or certain counts or command of certain pitches. They're not really pitching to who's hitting. And so once the season starts, you're going to have analysts, and you're going to have coaching staffs, and you're going to have pitching coaches, and you're going to have the starting pitcher and the catcher. They're going to be looking at what he's doing, and they're going to be looking for holes, and then they're just going to live there. If they find a hole, if he's struggling with the ball in, they're just going to live there. If he's struggling with the slider down and away, they're just going to stay there and execute the pitch. And so as a young player like him, it's a chess match, and it's constantly trying to make sure that you're not only able to cover one pitch or one side of the plate, that you're able to sort of make adjustments on the fly. That's the biggest difference, I think, is that big league pitchers, if you show a spot that you're really not very productive in, that's where you're going to see the pitches until you're able to make that adjustment.
Matt, talking about pitching, our guy Adam Wainwright on the IR right now with I believe a bit of a groin strain. As you look at Waino right now, how hard do you think it'll be for him to get 100% healthy at this point? And if he can't get to where he needs to be. You know, what's the Cardinals' pivot?
Yeah. I think he'll be fine. I talked to him about it. You know, we were concerned about his pitching and you know the WBC with more of his arm. And sure enough, he hurts his groin doing split squats in the weight room. So, I guess there's inherent risk in any activity that you do. But, you know, it's too bad that sort of the last couple days before he joined back up with the Cardinals, he has this little hiccup. But I think he'll be fine. I talked to him. I think he's, you know, he was optimistic that it won't be out too long. And but I do think that the good thing is you have veterans in there to sort of take the torch. And I obviously we talk about this all the time, but I think what Jack Flaherty we get and what kind of Jack Flaherty, which version we're going to get here is going to be huge. But I do think that having Walker in the outfield and it makes a couple guys expendable that you could think about if you needed to make a trade that you have some guys and some depth that in the position player side that might allow you to go out and get an innings eater or a guy that can help fill a rotation spot if you're not comfortable with the younger guys so I don't know. I think the first month you get a lot of off days, and so you got a chance to skip a fifth spot a couple different times, if I'm not mistaken. So it'll be interesting to see how they handle that, but I don't anticipate Waino being out more than about a month, would be my guess. So if you get through that first month, kind of mixing and matching, I think you'll get Adam back. Like I said, I think to me Jack Flaherty is the key. If he can pitch like an ace, it allows Montgomery and Matz and Michaelis to kind of slot into a really good positions in that rotation. So it'll be interesting to see. I think they'll be fine, Jamie. I think Waino will be back pretty quick.
Matt, I think the rotation in the regular season is going to be fine too. You really know what you have in a lot of these guys. When it comes to the postseason and hopefully to get out of the first round, the deeper you go into the postseason, I feel like you're going to need the top end pitching to kind of match up with what the National League has. You had just mentioned, maybe they dip into the depth at some point and make a trade. Do you feel as though one of the things that might shorten the gap between where the Cardinals are now as a playoff contender and as a World Series contender, do you think that they're going to have to go out there and make a trade to get a top-end arm, provided one's available?
Yeah, I mean, I think if you run into the Mets or you run into some of these teams that are throwing Verlander and Scherzer at you, but again, like we talked about, and I hate to keep bringing it up, but you know, the version of Jack Flaherty that you get and leading up to the trade deadline or how you feel about how he's throwing the ball, will probably affect on what kind of pitcher you're looking to acquire. It always depends on who's available. You always weigh the risk and the risk of trading a Mason Winn or a risk of trading, some of your top prospects potentially for a starter that you feel like is a one or a two. It has to be guys that are available that you feel are substantially better than what you have. And so that's always the balance. The tricky part of it is when you talk about trading assets like young players that you have control over that are cost efficient, that could potentially be superstars, that's the risk. And so if you can trade for, I wish I could think of some good names that on so-so teams that it could be available at that point. But I just think that there's so much to think about when you talk about Jack Flaherty and maybe Jordan Montgomery, how he's throwing. Is he throwing like a frontline starter? Is he throwing like a, could you match him up in the second or third game? How's Matt's coming along? Michaelis is got at times been pitched, to a low ERA kind of guy. So I think we'll know a lot. We'll have a lot more information, obviously, as the trade deadline is closer. But that always is, Anthony, is the tricky part. When you look at your rotation, you try to start thinking about who in the National League you might play in a
right.
in an NLCS. How do we match up? And so they'll use the first, 3 months to make that, analysis and then see what you do.
Matt, Lars Nootbaar is an international sensation now. He had people grinding pepper all over the place. Based on that, how do you think Shohei Ohtani is going to look in a Cardinals uniform? Because he obviously wants to be with Lars.
Well, I think if that's a possibility, and it's not my money, so let's spend it.
Yeah, spend it all.
Man, what a talent. I just, golly, when you talk about acquiring two players in one, I mean, you're acquiring an ace-type pitcher and a three-hole, like, in the same player. And I don't even know where the number starts or how you even look at the player for what he's worth. And then you combine that with sort of all the money you make off of his, you know, Japanese following and all the merchandise you sell, all the, I guess, what you can do with that. I'm not a businessman as far as that goes. I don't know how much that is worth, but it sure seems like the notoriety and the popularity that you get with signing a guy like Shohei is valuable. So, if Mr. Witt calls and asks me my opinion, I would say yes.
You have the Matt Holiday stamp of approval.
Yes, absolutely. I like it.
Matt, it's always a pleasure to chat with you. Enjoy all of the opening day festivities. Are you going down to ballpark? Or are you going down to Busch Stadium tomorrow?
I will. I'll be there. I'll be there. So, yeah. So I'm excited to get to put my red jacket back on and put it on, take it off, give it back to them. So any chance they give me to put that thing on, I'll probably be trying to put it on.
Absolutely.
So, I'm looking forward to it.
Well, Matt, we'll be at the Budweiser Brew House if you want to swing by and buy us lunch.
I would love to. If you were going to be at Wendy's, I for sure would. Budweiser Brew House, a little out of my price range for you, Jamie.
I'm going to DoorDash you that Frosty one day.
I will. Yeah.
Well, Matt, enjoy it, man. We'll talk to you again next week.
Okay, guys. Good talking to you guys.
You too. Thanks.
See ya.
See ya. That's Cardinals Hall of Famer Matt Holliday.